This is the Falcoholic Podcast, the official podcast of the Atlanta Falcons on the SB Nation Podcast Network. I'm Dave Walker. I'm joined by Evan Birchfield, and we're here to preview the Falcons' next matchup, Thursday night football game, their only primetime game of the season. And it's against the New England Patriots, who come into Atlanta for the first time in, honestly, it seems like forever. But before we get to that, Evan, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, DW. Just ready to look to a new week. Last week was pretty terrible.
Gruesome.
With the Falcons loss. So, yeah, let's, you know, I don't know that I'm optimistic or anything, but I'm just ready for another football game where maybe they can change my mind.
Yeah, I'm hoping they can. We started the week off with what was maybe some really, really bad news, but I think there's been some developments in that. We heard yesterday some rumors that Cordarrelle Patterson may miss Thursday's game with an ankle injury. So on that note, Evan, I know you cover the injury reports for the site. Why don't you give us an update on where these two teams stand going into this game? As of right now, we are recording, just to be clear for everybody, we are recording on Tuesday evening. So this is subject to change.
Tuesday is basically a normal Thursday. So Wednesday's practice report is the one you want to pay attention to, because that'll be the final. That'll be like Friday, where it's the final practice of the week. That gives us kind of the best insight. But yeah, Patterson has been limited on Monday. They didn't hold an actual practice. It was like a estimated practice. So they estimated that he would be limited. And then on Tuesday, that was the actual in-person practice. Mm-hmm. He was indeed limited. So that's a good sign, because on Monday, I believe it was Tom Pelissero, who's with NFL Network, said that, you know, he kind of made it seem like we might be without Patterson for a couple weeks. Mentioned that, you know, there wasn't a lot of optimism and stuff like that. But the Falcons, you know, have really been kind of confident that, you know, maybe he'll play this week, but it doesn't sound like it's going to be a multi-week thing, according to the Falcons. But we'll kind of see. We'll get a better idea if he's still limited. If he comes out and he's a full participant on Wednesday, that'll be something. But I believe it's the high ankle sprain, which I know you said you've had before.
Oh,
it's
horrible.
It's a nasty injury that typically you do miss weeks. So if for some reason Patterson plays, I mean, that'll be something. I don't know how else to put that, but yeah, that, I would be kind of shocked if it's a legit high ankle sprain. You usually miss at least 2 or 3 weeks. So
if
he plays, So if he plays, I mean, I think that just says a lot about him. The only other notable is Lee Smith, who missed the last game against the Cowboys with a back injury, was a full participant on Tuesday. So he's, you know, headed in the right direction. Jonathan Bullard, also a full participant. He was dealing with a concussion, and he was a full participant. So I would expect both of them to play. Obviously, there's one more practice, so we'll kind of monitor that. But as of Tuesday, it sounds like both of them are on track to play. The Patriots have a ton of people limited, the biggest thing is they also Monday didn't practice. They had a estimated practice report. Damian Harris was estimated to not practice on Monday due to a concussion. On Tuesday, he actually did practice. So he's headed towards, you know, playing. The only non-participant was defensive end Dietrich Wise Jr., but it was just an illness. So non-COVID illness, it's probably going to be fine to play. But yeah, they have a ton of, I mean, there's like 20 people here who are limited. Dante Hightower being one of them, ankle. Jonnu Smith, shoulder injury. Brandon Bolden, hip. Trent Brown, calf. But just kind of look at the falcoholic.com on Wednesday, because we'll have the up-to-date, you know, injury report this early in the week. They just put a bunch of names on there, and a lot of people will be limited just because they might, you know, might want to rest them just a little. So,
yeah.
Yeah. That basically sums up the injury.
Yeah. And honestly, them getting back Damian Jackson is going to be a big deal. He is one of their best weapons. So the New England Patriots, they're an interesting team coming in. They are one of the hottest teams right now in the NFL. They have won 4 in a row. They are now, I think, 6-3, and they're a half game back of the Buffalo Bills in the AFC East, which I think most people thought the Bills were going to run away with the division by this point. And they've stumbled a couple of times, and now the Patriots are in the thick of it. And those two teams have not played yet. Mm-hmm. So there is still a chance. The Patriots, with a rookie quarterback, which we'll talk about him in a little bit, can actually win that division, the AFC East, one that many people thought was Buffalo's to lose. So yeah, this is a bit of a surprising team to me. You know, we knew when they drafted Mac Jones that he was going to be a player that potentially could, you know, be up there for rookie of the year. I think at this point, he's probably the front runner by all accounts. They moved on from Cam Newton. They were so confident in him. And, you know, the first few games, he rightfully struggled as a rookie. Mm-hmm. But the past three or four games, he has been dialing in. This guy does not look like a rookie. great news for Falcons fans who are hoping Dean Pease could take advantage of a rookie. He is as advertised, and I've watched a couple of games of him. He is very much a traditional pocket passer, but he is accurate. He is decisive. And he's got great pocket awareness already for a rookie. It's honestly quite impressive. Now, I will say this. He's got a great offensive line in front of him, and he is surrounded by a plethora of weapons. However, one thing I want to point out is the games that they've had, because I think it's important to talk about the competition they've faced, how they fare, because, you know, if like the Falcons, your wins have all come against, you know, poor competition, it's going to potentially skew the perception of your team. But here is the Patriots, how their schedule has played out so far. Week one, lost to the Dolphins 17-16. Week two, win over the Jets 25-6. Week three, lost to the Saints at home 28-13. Week four, lost to the Buccaneers at home 19-17, the return of Tom Brady. Game five, on the road, beat the Texans 25-22. Game six, at home, Cowboys beat them 35-29. Game seven, at home, beat the Jets 54-13. Dear God. On the road, beat the Chargers 27-24. Next week, on the road again in Carolina, beat them 24-6. That was before Cam Newton came back, incidentally. And last week, probably the most impressive win was their absolute thrashing of the Cleveland Browns, 45-7. That game has people in Cleveland wondering if Baker Mayfield is the future of the franchise at quarterback. That's how bad that beatdown was. So they've had some, you know, games where they've played against some poor teams. You know, they faced the Jets twice and beat them both times. You know, they faced the Panthers and beat them up, and they faced the Texans and beat them up. So I don't want to say they've had a weak schedule, but they have faced some bad teams and they beat them. I do think the Browns win is pretty significant. Winning against the Chargers, I think, on the road is pretty significant. So I don't want to discount their record or their wins, but they've also had, you know, some cupcake teams in there. And in fairness, we've beat cupcake teams as well. It's not like we've dominated, you know, anybody at this point. I don't know. Do you think they're legit? Evan, do you feel that like that win against the Browns showed you something, or do you still feel like maybe they're a paper tiger?
I don't know. I think the most notable takeaway, I mean, they're on a 4-game winning streak. And as you mentioned, they're not like great talent they've been playing, but Mac Jones seems to have figured it out. And it kind of started with the win streak in week seven. He's got 6 touchdowns and in one interception since then.
Yep.
Before that, he was a lot worse on the season. He's got 13 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. So it looks terrible from that standpoint. But when you look at from when that win streak started in week seven, I mean, he's been playing good football. And I think kind of the national attention was last week where everybody's like, oh, but so luckily enough for the Falcons, that's going to be on prime time where it's like, okay, this is the new Mac Jones who's finally figured it out. I don't know that they're going to, you know, I mean, technically, I think the Bills are a much better team and will probably win that division. But who knows? It's Bill Belichick.
Right.
He's made a career off, you know, being one of those people who can, you know, obviously everyone knows Tom Brady, but he's made a career coaching players up who just go elsewhere and just turn into garbage. I mean, right. He's made players so much money who dominate on his team, enter free agency, and they just fall apart wherever they end up going. And that goes for coaching staff too, former assistants and stuff. People think they're going to be like the next Bill Belichick, and then they go to a different team and they end up fired in 3 years. Like, that's just the type of coach we're going to be facing. So I don't know. I'm not optimistic going into this game. I think the Patriots matchups are going to be tough on the Falcons, especially if for some reason Cordero Patterson isn't there. But I know we're going to talk more about the defense and stuff, but yeah, I'm a little nervous because I mean, this team, they've only allowed 13 points in the last two weeks. So that's kind of not great.
Yeah. They are sixth in points this year. So they are definitely scoring a lot, which is, you know, what you need to do to win in this league. As for their offense, PFF has Mac Jones as their fifth highest rated quarterback this year as a rookie, which is really damn impressive. No one on their offensive line has a grade lower than a 70.6, which is a very respectable grade. They've got guys across the board who are, you know, mid 70s or into the 80s. So this is a very good offensive line, which is normal for New England. They have some of the best coaches in the league for the trenches that you'll find. But they're weapons. My God, the weapons. And it's not like one guy is dominant. They don't have a Julio Jones. They just have a lot of guys that are delivering. Their wide receiver core, Kendrick Bourne, who leads the team with 520 yards, three touchdowns. Jacoby Myers, 483 yards and a touchdown. Nelson Aguilar, 356 yards and two touchdowns. Hunter Henry is having a little bit of a bounce back year, 353 yards and seven touchdowns. My God. and then, you know, the running backs, it's like they've got a three-headed monster. You know, Damian Harris, who we'll see if he plays or not. I would suspect he will based on the report. 547 rushing yards, seven touchdowns. Ramondre Stevenson, 236 yards rushing and three touchdowns. And then Brandon Bolden, who's really more of a receiving back, who has 227 yards receiving and 140 yards rushing. They have so many weapons. And oh, yeah, they've also got James White, who is like an afterthought now in this offense.
Yeah.
And Jonnu Smith, you know, who they brought in, many people thought was going to be, oh, he's going to be this, you know, great weapon for him. Well, he's got 193 yards. Like, he's fourth or fifth on the team in receiving. And it's, yeah, this is just an offense that is firing on all cylinders right now. The only offenses in the league that rank above them in points scored are the Cardinals, Cowboys, Bills, Buccaneers, and Titans. That's it. Like, that is impressive to see the Patriots up there. You know, the Rams are behind them. The Colts, the Chiefs are behind them. So yeah, this is a very impressive team right now. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm scared. I don't like this matchup at all for the Falcons defense.
Yeah. Looking at the last, just looking at how the points have gone over the last two games or 2 weeks, the Falcons have allowed 68 points like scored against them. And the Patriots have scored 69 points. So it's a complete mismatch, about as far as you can get.
Yeah. This feels like the Cowboys matchup. The Falcons just, unless Dante Fowler, James Vaughters, you know, just suddenly become premier pass rushers in, you know, instantaneously. You know, I don't expect them to be able to generate enough pressure consistently to knock Mac Jones off the spot. He has been sacked 19 times this year. However, a lot of those came early on in the season. And I think that's to be expected with a rookie who holds on to the ball a little bit too long. He has since settled down, and over this winning streak, he has been sacked a lot less. So that 19 can be a little bit deceptive, but right now he is he's just playing some really good ball. All right, let's I'm having flashbacks of the Cowboys game, and
it's similar defensive, like a lot of the stats are very similar that I'm looking at.
Yeah, New England is, it's funny when I was looking at it as well. They're right there with the Cowboys in on both sides of the ball, which is great. That's lining, the stars are lining up beautifully. All right. We are going to talk about the defense and whether or not this Falcons offense has the potential to keep up with this team. But before we do that, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back on the Falcoholic Podcast. This is Dave Walker. I'm joined by Evan Birchfield, and we are previewing the Falcons matchup against the New England Patriots, one of the best teams in football right now. So it's sort of back-to-back weeks, Evan, with facing two teams that are going to be in the playoffs more than likely, and in potential contention. I think the Cowboys may be, more of a serious threat than New England, but like with the way New England's playing right now, I would not write them off at all, especially with, as you know, that Bill Belichick is their head coach. All right, let's talk about their defense. Where do they rank defensively at this point, Evan? What are some of the stats you can give us about where the Patriots rank on that side of the ball?
Well, for me, the most notable thing is turnovers. They get interceptions in the secondary. Just for example, J.C. Jackson, five interceptions. Kyle Duggar, three interceptions. Adrian Phillips, three interceptions. The Falcons have three total interceptions this entire year. The Patriots have three players who have three or more
Oh
interceptions,
my God.
like by themselves. Oh Lordy. That's going to be the biggest thing for me is can they limit the turnovers? I mean, that's, kind of obvious every game, but this is a big one. The Patriots thrive on it. This defense is the type that they're going to try and force turnovers, and that's how they beat you, and then they beat you on the ground. I don't know. The more I look at these stats, I'm like, oh God, this is worse than I thought.
Now, I will say those they've gotten those interceptions in bunches, which obviously have to do still 24, or I'm sorry, 14 interceptions is ridiculous. Now, it helps playing the New York Jets. They have seven against them alone, four in the first game, three the second time they faced them. And then it helps to play Sam Darnold. He gave them three interceptions. Now, they got two against the Chargers and a very good quarterback out west. And they had two against the Cowboys, although I believe, was that the one with Cooper Rush? It may have been.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they played Dak. So keep that in mind as well. And they did have one against Baker Mayfield last week. So they are, yes, this defense, I'm not, please don't misunderstand this. I am not trying to write them off at all. They're a very good one. It's what Belichick does every single year. They are second in points allowed behind only the Buffalo Bills. As far as sacks, this is what makes me nervous, Evan. They're in the top 10 in sacks. They have 24 sacks on the year, and their sack percentage of 6.5 places them at 10th as well. And what we have seen with the Falcons offense is when they face a team that can pressure the quarterback, the offense tends to struggle because Ryan doesn't have enough time in the pocket. He can't go downfield much. And this is a bad matchup for the Falcons offense.
Especially if, that's the caveat here. If they're without Cordarrelle Patterson, it makes it so much worse.
Yeah.
Because Calvin Ridley is not going to play. At least we haven't, he's still got, what, two games technically on IR.
Yes.
So if you're down to Kyle Pitts, who, I've said it before, the thing that makes Bill Belichick good on defensively is he takes out your best players on offense. He makes you win going a different route, kind of. So like Kyle Pitts, probably not a great, if you're expecting a ton from Kyle Pitts this week, probably not great because they're going to look at him. Like they're going to make you beat him somewhere else.
Yeah.
So that's going to be kind of a difficult thing for a team that's kind of limited on offensive weapons right now.
Yeah. And to be clear, Ridley, this is his third game that he'll miss on the NFL non-injury list. He could come back against the Jaguars, which will be our next
Right.
game on
But he
November
can't come
20th.
back this week.
He
Like
cannot come back
he's
this week.
right.
Correct. And as you mentioned with the injury report, I do want to clarify, we do not know if the ankle injury that Cordarrelle Patterson suffered was a high ankle sprain. that was speculated by one of those doc guys on Twitter, and we've not seen any confirmation from the team or from the player that it was that kind of ankle sprain. If it's a low, if it's a normal ankle sprain, in theory, he could play on it and still play well. If it's a high ankle sprain, I would be shocked if he played on it, because it absolutely limits your ability to move. It's as I described it, having suffered this injury in the past, it's like having wooden boards up and down the entire length of your lower leg. Just like they're constricting every single muscle and flexibility in the entire lower leg. It makes it hard just to walk, much less run and beat guys down the sideline. Hopefully, I would suspect if he's practicing, I doubt it's a high ankle sprain. So then again, Cordarrelle Patterson is just built differently from the rest of us. So I'm looking at this defense and the turnovers, the sacks, but there are some opportunities here. Their corners, they are good at the turnovers. JC Jackson, I think, is a very good coverage cornerback. On the other side, Jalen Mills, not as much, at least if you're looking at the PFF scores. Mm-hmm. And then the safeties. Look, Devin McCourty has been a fantastic safety for most of his career. He's also 34 years old. He's on the back end of his career, and he is still a good player, but I still like Kyle Pitts in this matchup, because Kyle Pitts is 6'6". Devin McCourty is 5'10".
Yeah.
So if McCourty ends up in that matchup, I'm throwing jump balls to Pitts all day. Their other safety, Adrian Phillips, he is a pretty good player as well. Pretty good in coverage, still only 5'11". So Kyle Pitts has a substantial height advantage here on both of these guys if they end up on him in coverage. And likewise, their linebackers, Dante Hightower is a good player, nowhere near as fast as Patterson. So if you've got Patterson on Hightower, I'm taking Patterson. I'm taking that shot all day long. So if Ryan has enough time, I think the matchups here are ones where the specific players against their players, if they can just take advantage of it, there are opportunities there. My only concern is that they get to the quarterback. And right now, as we saw last week, that's one thing. This Falcons offensive line has been inconsistent. At times they've been fairly decent. And then they'll just have these meltdown games where, all of a sudden, Jalen Mayfield is your highest graded offensive lineman, like it was this past week, which is just so fluky. Incidentally, actually, I think it was Colby Gossett, wasn't it? It was
Colby Gossett. Yeah.
Yeah. So when Colby Gossett is your highest ranked offensive line player, something's gone really, really bad. I don't know. And any other matchups you see here? Do you feel like the Falcons need to get the ground game going to be able to keep this New England defense at bay?
I mean, yeah, but let's be honest. It hasn't happened this far. So, who really knows? But, get some more Wayne Gallman. I liked what I saw last week, even in a loss. Yep. He was productive. I believe he had 50 yards rushing. If they use him out of the gate, that'll be key. I get the Mike Davis stuff. Like, he's still splitting carries with Patterson, but Wayne Gallman just looked the part. The stats backed it up, but he looked the part last week. So I think if they can get him going early, the thing with the offense is you have to open up the pass, and you do that by having a successful run game, or at least one that they respect. And that hasn't happened much, at all this season, where the opposing teams respected the ground game. And especially when you have limited receiving options, as the Falcons do, you have to be a threat on the ground, and they just haven't been. But maybe if they use Wayne Gallman on Thursday, they'll be able to get something through the air.
Yeah, and the Patriots' rushing defense, still good, but they rank number 12. They allow 4.2 yards per carry and about 107.9 yards per game. The yards per game I don't like to focus on as much, because that is influenced a lot by how their offense plays. You know, if you have an offense that's racking up the score, you force the other team to move away from the run, and that's going to help your run defense. So the yards per attempt is a good metric. They're averaging, they're allowing 4.2, which, funny enough, is the same that the Falcons are allowing. The Falcons are number 10 in the league in rush defense, allowing 4.2 yards per attempt. Not a stat that I was expecting to see, but yeah, there may be an opportunity here for the Falcons to get the run game going. I think they need to, like you said. And Wayne Gallman, I agree. I think he deserves more touches. Incidentally, when I spoke with Mike Rothstein last week, he mentioned that when he spoke with Dave Ragone, that he asked him about Mike Davis. And this is very interesting. I thought this was a great point by Mike. He said, Dave basically pointed to how happy they were with his pass blocking. And, you know, Mike said he's been in the NFL long enough that he knows that when you talk about the pass blocking of a running back, that means that the other stuff is not going the way you want it. So I think the Falcons are beginning to get a little bit frustrated with his lack of productivity as a runner. And I think Gallman being active was and getting all those snaps is a sign that, yeah, they're going to start turning to the hot hand. And as you mentioned, I think Gallman did look a lot better. In fairness, Davis looked better in the Cowboys game as well. He certainly ran better, and we've seen him run in recent weeks. But yes, if they're going to have success, I feel like they have to keep the Patriots offense off the field, which means burn the clock, which means run the ball successfully, set up the play action to open up the downfield shots. Because if you try to get into a shootout, my concern is that we'll see what happened last week. You have one dropped pass, it kills a drive, you know, and all of a sudden you're down 14-3, and then it becomes 21-3, and then everything just falls apart quickly. And the Falcons right now are just not built to stay in games like that, because they don't have enough weapons on offense to get into a shootout, especially an offense like this. Again, I just go back to all of these weapons that they've got. They've got, you know, 300, 400 yards receiving, multiple touchdowns, Hunter Henry with 7 touchdowns. I mean, it's just, it's the best way to defend that is to keep them off the field. So I feel like the Falcons' best opportunity is to really, really try to get the run game going. Focus on it, sell out to you know, run the ball on these guys. And if that doesn't work, you know, at least you you put that effort on the field. All right, Evan, any final thoughts as we close out this preview podcast? And what is your prediction as well for how this game is going to play?
I mean, like, the Falcons seem to do better when I have, like, barely any optimism. So there's that. The fact that the Patriots defense have allowed the second fewest rushing touchdowns in the league, and the Falcons have a struggling rushing attack, makes me a little nervous. Because again, I don't think the Falcons receiving depth is good. If you take, you know, Patterson hopefully plays, if for some reason he doesn't and you're losing that in the receiving game, it's basically Kyle Pitts. You know, Russell Gage, I guess, is okay, but he's not a number one. I don't even think a number two receiver. I like him as a wide receiver 3. Mm-hmm. So that's going to make me a little nervous. And then obviously we're going against, you know, one of the better coaches in NFL history. So yeah, I mean, if I had to predict a score, I'm going to say Falcons 14, Patriots 24. Like, I think it'll be kind of close, but I don't see the Falcons winning this, which means they might. So,
yeah.
and they're wearing the throwbacks, that throwbacks. As much as I love them, they usually have bad games wearing for some reason. It's frustrating, but yeah, I don't know. I just don't have a good feeling about this game on a short week too.
Yeah. And it's a primetime game, which they have not played well in recently. Yeah. I'm looking at this one. I don't like any of the matchups. Honestly, I think the Falcons are going to have to shock us, because right now, after the Cowboys game, after what they showed there, I just think between the coaching and the roster issues, this is just not a team that can keep up with the best in the league. And right now, the Patriots are one of the best teams in the league. That is not an indictment of, you know, the front office or the coaches. I just think it's going to take time to rebuild this roster into one that's competitive, and it's going to take time to install their scheme the way that they want to, and to get the players in here who are going to be able to execute on that. You know, as you mentioned, Russell Gage is wide receiver one is entirely problematic. And that's, you know, that's where the Falcons are at right now. So yeah, I've already put my prediction out there. I'm going to stick to it. I said Patriots 31, Falcons 13. I'm hoping they score at least 13 points. just keep Matt Ryan healthy is what I'm seeing. And on that note, on the falcoholic.com, you can see my game preview and predictions. 71% of our readers think the Patriots win this game. So Evan, you and I are not alone.
71% think the Falcons. Oh, they think the Patriots. Patriots.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. I thought for some reason I thought you said Falcons. I was like, oh, that's something. But yeah, I agree. I'd say that's about how I feel. I think there's a 71% chance Patriots win.
Yeah. So. I'd say it's like 91, but as it stands, we'll go with that. All right, Evan,
remind us. I don't want to be too pessimistic.
Yeah, right. We are a Falcons podcast after all. We're not supposed to be this negative.
Right.
All right, buddy. Remind our listeners where they can find you, what you've got going on.
You can find me on Twitter at Evan Birchfield, everything at thefalcoholic.com. Look for the injury report. By the time you're hearing this, it's probably Wednesday. So look at the injury report on thefalcoholic.com, and that'll give you most likely an update on Patterson and a couple other guys and some of the Patriots players. So yeah, just enjoy the game. I mean, it's our only primetime game of the year for some reason, but and it's a Thursday night, which is usually the bad games, but hopefully this one's a good one. And enjoy the throwbacks, because I love them, and we're going to wear them again. Who's it against? I want to say it's against the Lions.
I think it is the Lions.
Yeah. And I can't remember off the top of my head what week that is, but we'll wear them again later in the season. And
it's the day after Christmas, December 26th.
Day after Christmas. There we go. So that should be a winnable game. If for some reason they look atrocious in this game, but yeah, because I love those uniforms, but Lord, do they play like crap wearing them?
Yeah, they do. And for those who are quite pessimistic about this team right now, I get it. This podcast probably doesn't help with that. Just keep in mind, we've got the Jaguars after this game. We'll have a team with 10 days of rest going into Jacksonville. Then we're home to face the Buccaneers, and on the road to face the Panthers, on the road to face the 49ers, and then we're back home to face the Lions, on the road to face the Bills, and then we finished the last game of the season at home hosting the Saints. So there are still some opportunities for this team to get, two, maybe three more wins and sort of end up in the spot many of us thought they would end up in, which is, seven or eight wins on the year. And when you're trying to establish a new team, a new identity, new coaching staff, new scheme, that is not necessarily a bad way to go. So keep the faith, folks. It's not over yet.
DW, if the Falcons win this game, how do you feel about this team? Like, isn't it just so weird?
I will have no idea, man.
Because it's like the Saints game, I have never felt more confident that they were going to lose that just because of everything surrounding it. And then they win. And then the Cowboys game, like, I wasn't very confident or anything like that. But, like, I didn't see them getting, paddled. Like, it was embarrassing. If they win this game against the Patriots, who they shouldn't, on paper, probably shouldn't even be in a close game with, but if they beat them, I mean, I just don't honestly know what to think of this team. Yeah. Like, it almost makes predicting games surrounding. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that is a high variance team. And I think that is who the Falcons are right now. On any given Sunday, they can give you their best effort and knock off the Saints at home. And then turn around and crap the bed against the Cowboys. So I think that is just who the Falcons are.
I mean, it would be big for a rookie head coach to beat Bill Belichick, because it doesn't happen often. I don't have the stats off the top of my head, but it's not something that occurs often. It makes sense
one of the rookie head coaches this year is 0-2 against him, and Robert Saleh with the Jets. Yeah. So not a good track record there. All right. As for me, guys, you can follow me on Twitter at FalcoholicDW. Updates for this podcast at FalcoholicPod. And, of course, our articles daily at thefalcoholic.com. So for Evan Birchfield, this is David Walker. Thank you guys for listening in. We'll talk with you next time.